Shrink Wrap Radio number 465, Unbinding the Heart with Agape Stassinopoulos.
It's Shrink Wrap Radio. All the psychology you need to know and just enough to make it dangerous. It's all in your head. And now here's your host, Dr. Dave.
My guest today is Agape Stassinopoulos, best-selling author and inspirational speaker, about her autobiographical book, Unbinding the Heart. For more information about Agape Stassinopoulos, please see our show notes on shrinkwrapradio.com. One of today's sponsors is Audible.com, who has more than 180,000 audiobooks and spoken audio products. Get a free audiobook of your choice at www.audibletrial.com/shrink. And before we go to the interview, I want to let all you professionals know that our strategic partner, the Jung Platform, has created CE courses from selected Shrink Wrap Radio interviews on topics such as dreams, relationships, synchronicity, trauma, and more. Go to www.jungplatform.com to see the latest courses. Now, here's today's interview. Agape Stassinopoulos, welcome to Shrink Wrap Radio.
Thank you so much, David. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk to you about all the things that matter.
Yeah, all the things that matter. That's good. One of my recent guests, Dr. Kristen Lee Costa, author of the book Reset, suggested that you'd make a great interviewee for this show. I guess she was in a workshop with you and she was very impressed.
Yes. We did a workshop based on a work that I'm doing with my sister, Ariana Huffington, called Thrive, and it's how to thrive in your everyday life. And we take it to corporations and the workplace, and we really help people identify things in their lives that enhance their well-being. And you know, everybody needs more of that.
Because
we are an ongoing work of art, I call our human beings are an ongoing work of art. It's never ending.
Right. So I've been enjoying your book, Unbinding the Heart, which is an upbeat autobiography filled with inspirational spiritual lessons that you've learned along your journey. Is that a fair characterization?
That's a very fair, yes. I wrote this book, Unbinding the Heart, A Dose of Greek Wisdom, Generosity, and Unconditional Love, as a byproduct of all the things I learned in my life and all the things that took me to my journey to get to what I call the most wonderful feeling of really connecting to yourself.
Yeah.
And once I realized that everything that happened in my life, from a young girl in being brought up in Greece, to starting acting in London, to coming to Los Angeles to do a movie, which fell through, and then my calling, my soul's calling to really look for my spiritual center, to understand what my life was about, and all the things that happened in my life, all the things that didn't happen, all the teachings my wonderful mother brought to me, I put it all together and I realized it was like a tapestry of life. Like everything, every little thing was a stitch.
Yes.
And he had created this awareness, these wisdoms. And I felt a responsibility to really share it, you know?
Sure.
To really tell people, because I feel, you know, David, we're all the same and we all go through this journey trying to figure out what are we here to do. You know, we all want more of the good things in life. And I think everybody has something to contribute.
Yeah, I do too. And in some ways, you've led a charmed life. As you mentioned, you grew up in Greece, and at 12, your mother introduces you to yoga, and at 14, you first hear of the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts in London.
Oh, no, the academy, I was actually not 14, I was 17.
17, okay.
Yes.
No, but you heard of it at 14, and then at 17, against long odds, you eventually end up there, and you receive a stellar training in acting for the theater, and then at 16, your mother gives you
a book by Carl Jung on archetypes, and yes. you've grown up on the stories of the Greek gods and goddesses and came to understand them as archetypes and to dramatize them in dance and theater and writing. And underlying all this is a web of synchronicities. And as longtime listeners to this show know, I'm fascinated by synchronicity, and like you, my life has been guided by them. So talk to us a bit about synchronicity and its role in your life and what that term means to you.
Well, I say I was raised with feta cheese, olive oil, and the principle of synchronicity.
My mother
kind of always believed that things happen in your life in perfect flow if you really trust. You know, it's more like having the positive approach that life is not going to miss you. As Rumi said, life is rigged in your favor. I love that quote.
Yeah.
Live life as if everything is rigged in your favor. And, you know, a lot of people feel life cheated them. You know, you didn't get this and you didn't get that. And my mother, you know, didn't have means. You know, she left my father when we were teenagers in Athens, took me and Ariana and brought us up in Athens pretty much on her own because my father, well, that's another story. You know, my father was very wounded, survived concentration camps in Germany, was a wonderful, brilliant man, but very wounded. So he had patterns that really did not support a marriage. You
yes.
know, he... I won't go into it, but let's leave it at that, that she kind of made a decision, I have to bring up my girls on my own. And although he was there, she was really struggled to give us the best, you know, to find money, to ask her brothers, to really give us a sense of well-being. And she struggled a lot, but she had this amazing ability to really trust that life was going to work out. And if she had a vision, she was going to find the way. She was going to find the roadmap. And it was extraordinary to see her kind of manifest and how things came in her life. And she gave a lot. But the way I call synchronicity is really when things align. And it's a Greek word, you know, chronos means time, syn means together. So it's really when everything kind of aligns, and it's when people think of something and suddenly they it happens. Or how many times have we all had situations of where, you know, you think of someone and they call you, or you get an email from
exactly.
them.
Exactly.
You run into them at the airport.
Yeah.
Or you want something and you have it in your consciousness, and suddenly you see somebody having that, and you say, where did you get that? And connections, and you somebody invites you somewhere out of the blue, and you say, well, I don't really want to go, but you decide to go, and then you meet your husband to be there.
Yeah,
I mean, there's like endless things. And if we look at life like this extraordinary dance of the cosmos, of the universe, and of the world, so that we are not feeling left and alone, but we're feeling there is something beyond our understanding, there is something, the mystery of life that's really guiding us and really is present, and it's invisible. You know, it's not like anything we can see, because it's like in the atoms. You don't see your atoms, and yet they operate and they're glued together by love. You know, I mean, I do believe that the universe is glued together by love. And we come as human beings in this earth, and we disconnect. We have adversities and we have challenges, and we don't connect with our spirit, and it gets hard. You know, it gets hard for a lot of people, emotionally, mentally, financially, physically. So life needs a lot of love, a lot of attention, a lot of community, a lot of tenderness, a lot of extending. That's why I call the book Unbinding the Heart, because it needs to open up your heart and embrace it all. And you go, you know, I'm not going to judge it, because when we start to judge, we bind our hearts. And that's how I came up with the title of the book, David. I had this experience. My spiritual teacher was a man called John Roger, and I studied with him for 40 years. He passed away 9 months ago, and he started something called the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness.
Uh-huh.
And it was really about about opening your heart to love and to the light and sound of God. And it's been an extraordinary path for me because I met him when I was, you know, a young girl. And I started to study with him. It's a very small group of people, but it taught me very much something that always my mother taught me, that the most important thing is that your heart unbinds, that your heart is not shut off. And how do we bind our hearts? We bind it because we judge. We bind it because we feel we're not enough. We bind it because we worry. And then we don't feel the love that's embedded in our very being, you know?
Is there a sort of rhythm of maybe sometimes our heart is open and other times it's bound and then
yes.
Maybe it opens again?
Well, I think the spiritual heart is always open, you know? The emotional heart gets hurt and feels, but the spiritual heart of who we are part of, you know, is always open. So when we tap into the spiritual power of our heart, and now they are proving everywhere that the heart is more intelligent than the mind.
Yes, I know some of that
research.
There's
an electromagnetic field around our heart.
Yes.
You know, most people you find when they have heart attacks, other than the physical conditions, is because they're stressed or because they're holding on such anger or rage or they're holding on pepped up emotions. And that's terrible for your heart. It affects your circulation. It affects your blood pressure. It affects your heart palpitations, anxiety. So the heart is, we have the physical heart, which is the, you know, manifestation of the physical world. And then we have the emotional heart, which is the feelings and the love and the sweetness that we feel. And then we have a mental heart, which is the mind, the heart of the mind of the heart, that's what I call it, the intelligence of the heart. And your heart knows, it always knows. It knows what to do, it knows what not to do. But if you go against your heart, you're going to pay a great price, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So your heart tells you, this person, watch about this person, don't do that, go over here. You know, it's a sort of instinctual thing that's connected to our heart.
Yeah.
And I really feel, you know, I'm a very spiritually based person, and I feel, you know, whenever we did yoga, we always felt you open your heart, you soften your heart, you let your heart fill up with the goodness of you and the spirit of life. And that's how I see it. And for me, I had a very specific experience when I was with my spiritual teacher at a retreat. And we were all sharing, and everybody was bringing up their concerns or their worries, and he would help them. And he loved. He had such love, and he had such kindness and strength. And he brought the love of God, in a way, down here. And he loved us all so deeply and so sweetly. And it was so profound that one day I really felt like my heart was unbound, you know, and it was a process. But one day I had this profound experience of where I saw the world as a one, and I saw no separation between people, and especially my heart opened up to myself. I felt a lot of compassion, a lot of kindness to myself.
And how old were you at that point when you had that experience?
I was in my 40s. In my 40s. In my 40s. And then I decided, out of that came the experience to write the book.
Sure, sure. Now, in addition to synchronicity and heart, you also note that story is fundamental to Greek culture, and in your own life you found that story is one of the keys to unbinding the heart. How so?
Well, David, if I told you to tell me your story, and you gathered a few people and I said, David, tell us your story, it would be fascinating. You could start and saying, you know, my parents were this, and my dad did that, and my mom did that, and then I went to school, and I remember I met so-and-so.
Yeah.
And then this happened, and then I decided to do this, and then on my way to there, I ran into this person, and then I met my wife. I don't know, do you have children?
Yes, I do, yeah.
You know.
Four.
And then my son was born, and then my girl was born, and then this happened, and then... And then if you put your heart in it and you tell us your story, we will all be enthralled. you know, and everybody has a story. That's what I say in the book. I said, we all have a story, and our story matters. You know, how we feel.
Yes.
The first time we felt in love, the first time we got betrayed, the first time we got something we wanted, the first time we didn't get what we wanted, when we saw, you know, our children walk, when we saw our children succeed in something, when they put on, you know, they won a game in basketball or in soccer or in every little thing matters, how we feel. And people say, well, that's not important. Well, what's important? The little things are as important. These are the big things.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I think it was that insight about story and, you know, how intrigued I was by the unusualness of my own story and then discovering that really everybody has a story. If you scratch, just get a little bit below the surface, and even people that you know, maybe that you initially don't like that much. And then once you learn their story, your heart softens. And I think that's part of the reason I became a psychologist. That's what sort of drew me into this profession.
And don't you find that when you see people unlock something, or they get liberated, or they connect to their unconscious, and that unconscious tells them things, or we're not three-dimensional beings. We're multidimensional, and you know that from psychology. You know, your dreams, your unconscious, your we are immense, and we treat ourselves like we are,
machines,
exactly. Like we do this, and we're not. We are extraordinary. We're a miracle.
Yeah.
I mean, every time I get my blood test and I look at the blood components and I go, God, who makes blood? Who can the potassium and the iron and the B12s and the vitamins? You know what I mean,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
and
right.
You go, who makes a miracle? We're a miracle.
Right.
And to wake up every morning and really realize that we are a miracle and that the spirit lives in us. And the spirit wants to give to us. That's what's so extraordinary.
Yeah,
but we block it. We block it because we don't feel. We don't want to feel out of control. You know.
Yeah, you give a lot of credit to your mother in the book for her love of life and her exuberance and the lessons that she taught you. And one of the things that she taught you is that there's always a solution.
And yes.
Say a bit more about that.
Well, this is a very sweet story in my book. I think it's chapter 3 or something. And we were little girls, Ariana and I, and my mother used to love to take us to the theater. So one Saturday, we were going to see a Bernard Shaw play in Athens, in Greece. And we were excited, and we were leaving the house to go to the theater and then to dinner. And as we got into the elevator, my mother looked at my sister and said, you have my bag. And Ariana said, no, I don't have your bag. And she said, well, I thought you took my bag. And she said, but my bag has my key and the tickets and the money.
Oh, my goodness.
See, here we are in the elevator and to go to the theater, and her bag is inside with a key. So my mother does not lose a beat. She goes to the superintendent downstairs and says, listen, I just locked myself in the house. Can you possibly loan me some money so we can go to the theater? So she does, and then we go to the theater. We took a taxi. We go to the theater, and my mother says, look, we have tickets, but they are locked in my apartment. I remember, it's Greece, you know. It's not. It's Athens, right? It's not the Broadway where you can't really do that. But anyways, And the person says, well, we'll wait until everybody sits down, and when there are three seats, and true enough, there were three seats available. So we went there, and we saw the play, we had dinner, and then we came back, and we kept saying, Mommy, how are we going to get back? How are we going to get back? She said, don't worry, we'll find a solution. But we lived across the street from the fire station. So we get back, and my mother looks, goes up to the firemen, and she says to them, could you let us in? And of course they take the the engine with the staircase. We lived on the third floor. We were on the third floor, which is pretty good.
And, yeah, they got a ladder to go up to your
room.
Yes,
a ladder. Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yes, exactly. They take the ladder and open the window, and sure enough, they let us in.
Your mother must have had some charm to get them to do
amazing,
that.
Amazing, right? Yeah. I was 9 years old, and my mother said to us, remember, there is always a solution.
Mm-hmm.
And I never forgot it. It was like, you know, when you're nine and your mother does these things and she doesn't panic, she doesn't get upset, she doesn't go, oh, we ruined our evening, we can never do it. She goes, okay, we'll have a fabulous evening.
Yeah, that was a wonderful story. And there's another one at age nine that you share in the book where you ask your mother, Mommy, are we rich? Maybe you can share that story along with her answer.
Yes, and I want to share that with your listeners. Because we've made, you know, money such a god, and we feel there are the people who have money, the people who don't have money, the people who have a little bit of money, and there is always this separation. Like, money is a big lesson on this planet, you know. And, I mean, look what the Greeks are going through right now, right?
Right, yes.
With my country. I mean, we're going through such a difficult time, you know, in Greece because of, you know, we got into a mess anyways, you know, so
yeah.
Let's see how we're going to get out of it. But my mother, when we lived with my father, and my father had these very wealthy friends who used to pick him up on Sundays with a Jaguar to take him to the races because my father used to gamble with horses. He loved it. So I was kind of puzzled because we didn't have a car, we didn't have a driver. We usually, you know, whether we take the bus or we take a taxi to the city because we lived outside the city. And then we would go to my friend's, my father's friend's, and it was a very opulent home, you know, silverware and upholstered chairs and all that stuff that, you know, very wealthy people's homes have and very trimmed, well, gardens. And one day I was puzzled because we lived in a very modest house in Athens. And I said, Mommy, are we rich? And my mother proceeded to give me what I call the wealth talk, not the sex talk, the wealth talk.
Right.
And she said, listen, we are wealthy. Rich you can become, but wealth means that you have talent and you're generous and you have abundance and what you have you share and you enjoy the cultural stuff of life and you feel you can create and you're a creator of your life and you have fun she went on and on about all the things that education, she was very big on education, she said education is wealth. When you're educated, when you can read and write and read about all these philosophers and that's wealth. And
so wise. So
very, very wise. And I never forgot it. You know, wealth was the wealthy, it's how you feel inside, you know, this rich feeling that you have inside that you're wealthy, that you have to, you can contribute in life, that you have caring and love you include people, and she was like that. You know, she was so inclusive, and she had no sense of hierarchy. Like, she could have the plumber and the prime minister at the same table and think nothing of it.
Yeah.
And you know, in this country, we make, everywhere, the important people and the non-important people. My mother said, people are people, and you should never be intimidated by them. Ask them for what you want. Be gracious. If you want something from somebody who has something you can help you, and give to those who you can help.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so there's so much magic, synchronicity, and as you say, kind of wealth, not monetary, in your story, in your journey. Maybe you can tell us about the story about how you got into the very prestigious London Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts. I mean, there you are in Greece, and somehow you end up as a young girl in London at this very prestigious school. How did that come about?
Mm-hmm, right. You know, here's the thing. I've always wanted to study acting because I felt that was like a wonderful way to express and to entertain. And the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts is the best school in the world. That's where, you know, Alan Rickman, I don't know if you heard of Alan Rickman, you know, who was in Harry Potter. He played the evil guy.
Okay.
And everybody sort of knows him, and Kenneth Branagh and Anthony Hopkins and Helen Mirren and, you know, on and on, amazing actors.
Yeah.
Laurence Olivier. And, you know, you can imagine a Greek girl from Athens. You know, that, it's a lot of chutzpah. You think you're going to get into this amazing drama school. My English wasn't that good. I was 14. But I got this seeding, you know, inside, like this inkling, this spark, when I heard about it from a friend. And my mother, when I told her, she said to me, okay, let's see how we can make it happen. So my mother proceeded to find people who had been there, you know, who knew it. And indeed, she found a Greek actor who had gone to RADA. Uh-huh. And the way she did it, David, and I want to inspire your listeners to really understand the power of asking, because often we want things in life, but we're afraid to ask. We don't ask spirit. We don't ask each other. We don't reach out. And how? And sometimes we need help, you know. And asking is really allowing other people to also be a resource, you know.
Yes.
And we don't often ask because we're going to get a no, you know. And so my mother asked everybody, do you know anybody who had gone to RADA? And when we found this amazing actor who was very well known, he was wonderful in Greece, and he said, oh, I'll introduce you to my teacher who taught me acting, and you would love her and all that. And we went to meet her in London. You know, my mother took us to London. And and she took me on to teach me, you know, private lessons, but I wasn't getting anywhere. It was just, I couldn't really break through, you know, to what acting was about. And so she said to me one day, you know, I don't really think you're an actress. I think you're a wonderful human being. So I was very devastated. And I went to my mother and I said, Mommy, you know, Mrs. Mather, that was her name, does not think I'm an actress, and I don't know what to do. She doesn't want to teach me anymore. And my mother turned to me and said, oh, well, she didn't get you. That's not your teacher. Let's call her and find out if she can think of someone else. Now, isn't that amazing?
That is amazing. And then you do hook up with somebody else who immediately kind of gets you and helps you to really
to
come from these.
To unleash my talent.
Yeah.
Exactly. And she was amazing, that other teacher. I was always so grateful to her because she found ways to get me to open up, to find my passion, it was amazing. It was amazing. I mean, I emoted because I was a natural actress in such an amazing way, you know, and I found my vein, my golden vein. So I then did get in, and I was very supported by my teachers there. I had an amazing education. I acted. People acknowledged me, validated me. And then I finished, you know, and I was 20, I think. And then I wanted to work in England, but that was very hard because working in England, you need a permit, and I had a Greek accent and all that. And by the synchronicity of life, there we come back to synchronicity, I got a film in Los Angeles through my sister who knew some people, and they said, oh, we hire Agapi to come and she can audition, and they brought me to Los Angeles. And that's where kind of my destiny started, because I came to L.A. to do this movie. I got the part, but 3 months later, the movie fell through. And that was a moment of what I call it a moment of turning point. Because, you know, often in our lives, David, we're given choices and we can either go this way or that way. And for me, I had a choice to go back to London where my mother and my sister were, or to try my luck in L.A. And I was by myself. I had no money. The movie fell through. I had a lot of friends. But I really decided to stay in L.A. You know, it was this calling, like, don't go back. Mm-hmm. And that's when I reached in and I started to read a lot of spiritual books, searching for myself, searching that who was I? Was I more than just this Greek girl who wanted to be an actress? And I started to read the autobiography of a yogi, highly recommended by Paramahansa Yogananda.
Yes, I read it.
Isn't it amazing, that book?
Oh, yes, it is. Yeah.
It's a story of a yogi and how life really works and how the dimensions of life. And it's an amazing book. It's an amazing book that opens people's hearts and souls. So
yeah, my own mother actually was influenced by him, went to his temple that he had in L.A., for a while. I was quite young at the time, so I didn't really get it at a conscious level. I must have got it at some other level.
Yes. Well, that book opened me up to realize that I was more than a body and an actress, that I had a soul, thank God. And it sort of pierced in, you know. I got this inkling that I was a soul and I had a spiritual awakening while I was reading the book, and I really prayed for a teacher. And that's when I realized that I was connected to the source, to God, to the universe, to whatever you want to call it, you know, David. Mark Nepo, who is an amazing poet, by the way, I don't know if you are familiar with his work.
No.
He is amazing. Mark Nepo, you should Google him and see. You'll fall in love with him. He's he has the soul of a dove. He writes poetry. He's a cancer survivor. He nearly died from being diagnosed with cancer and survived, and has been writing poetry ever since. He said something so beautiful. We're speaking at a conference together, and he said, if you believe in something larger than yourself, you are a mystic. That's my definition of a mystic.
Mm-hmm.
So I tend to, you know, say God, but God is such a limiting word, but because it is what sustains us, you know, it's the spirit of life. And for me, at that moment, the epiphany in my life, I realized that I was connected to that spirit. I was connected to the higher power.
Yes.
And that changed my life, because then I found John Roger and I started to go to the center in L.A., which is called Prana, which is, if anybody's listening and they are from L.A., it is an extraordinary spiritual center with a labyrinth and meditation gardens. It is called Prana, and it is on Adams Boulevard. I think it's 500 or 800 Adams in South L.A. And people are blown away, because in the middle of South L.A., you have this gorgeous mansion. People live there. It's like an ashram. And there's a spiritual vortex of energy there. So
I grew up I grew up very near Adams. I know Adams very well.
Adams and Crenshaw, right?
Yeah, I grew up quite close. I grew up within a mile or two of that.
Oh, my God, that's amazing. I have to take you there next time you come.
Okay.
So, it really, that set me on the path. You know, that was my path. And it was a soulful path, and a path that led me to the divine, to knowing myself as more than a personality, as more than a body, as more than a mind, and connect with that light inside. And that started my work. But then, you know, I started to, as you know, I have this great story about that I still wanted to act, but wasn't getting the parts, and I was very frustrated and felt very restricted by what I wanted in the world, but the world wouldn't give it to me, you know. And that's a very painful thing when you say, I want to have this work and I want to have this expression, but you need also other people to join you. And one day I was in a New York City bus, as you know, I write about in this book called St. Joan in the Bus. And I was very disappointed. I hadn't gotten a Greek part in a huge Greek play. And I ended up talking to one woman in the bus who was a nurse but had been an actress. And as I was talking to her, we talked about our love for theater. And I ended up opening up and doing my monologue for her and the bus.
Right.
And the Joan of, and I performed Joan of Arc in the bus. And that just completely opened me up to realize that that's why the book is called Unconditional Love. Because if you have a gift, you must share it. You must share it unconditionally and not wait for the right opportunity or the right moment. Because a gift is given to us, you know. And I always say the greatest, quickest way to be happy is to share what you have with others, unexpectedly, unconditionally. And then life is a joy.
Yeah.
It's a joy.
Yeah.
And that really started me on my path to do my one-woman show on the goddesses called Conversations with the Goddesses.
This was perfect for you with your background and training. Yeah, a perfect expression.
And all the Greek goddesses. And that was a joyful moment when I started to put it together, and I kind of emerged as this actress that was also the creator of her work. And from that moment, I ended up going after, I mean, actually, that's when synchronicity started to happen to me. It was extraordinary. Because once I did that, then people were inviting me to the Getty Museum and to museums and to colleges to speak about the archetypes. Because I was acting the archetypes, I was connecting the dots, you know, from the mythology to today, and to really helping women understand that we have many aspects in ourselves. And that book, although it's out of print, it's called Conversations with the Goddesses. And if your listeners are into Greek mythology and archetypes, highly recommend it. Although it's out of print, they can get secondhand copies from Amazon. I always buy my book. And it is just a stunning book of pictures and awarenesses of how we have these archetypes in us, you know.
Yes.
And they live in us. They're aspects of ourselves, and they're incredible. They're larger than life.
You know, there's one more story that you tell about your mother. You give her so much credit for your own faith and courage. And so share with us, if you will, the story about the three German soldiers.
Oh, yes. That was a moment that my mother was in the Second World War. And she actually was serving a lot of Jewish people and hiding a lot of Jewish people. And
Greece was occupied by the Germans?
Yeah,
I don't think I knew that.
Yes, exactly. And people didn't know that. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it is. We've not learned much about that.
Yes, so my mother, you know, was very caught in her passion to serve, and she was a nurse, so during the Red Cross, they were up in the mountains, and they had really, you know, survived themselves, and they were hiding Jewish people in her house and in under the Red Cross, and there was one evening where they were in the mountains with taking care of wounded soldiers, and three German soldiers, you know, marched in the cabin and had machine guns and started to shoot, you know. And my mother spoke German, thank God, and she got up and she said in perfect German, "Put down the guns, you have no right to shoot, we are Red Cross." And at that point, the machine guns came down and the Germans, you know, stopped shooting. And one of the patients who was standing, actually was sitting in a chair, fell. He didn't die, but they had, you know, the bullet hit him. So she basically, at that moment, she said, this energy, this life force came up and just got her to, she could have been shot, you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like she got up and she said, put down the guns, wear Red Cross. And the guns came down and my mother said, she never forgot it. She, all her life, whatever she went through, she said that was the most powerful moment in her life because she realized that she was much stronger than she thought, that she really had this amazing ability to really survive and to really overcome and to really had power, that she had tremendous power.
Yes.
That even in her greatest adversities, you know, she remembered it, you know.
Yeah, something just emerged and took over.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever had a moment like that, but you realize you're bigger than life.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, I may have. I'm not sure. Nothing comes to mind immediately, but sure. So sometime later, you find yourself in New York, you know, after having been in L.A. a lot, and you're trying to become a producer and to raise money. At the same time, you're enrolled in a master's course in spiritual psychology, and you realize you've lost touch with your inner self and your essential quest to manifest your name, Agape, which means unconditional love. Tell us a bit about that period and how you got through it.
Well, I think at some point, you know, I started to really want to create my mark in the world. And so I took on a big project and of producing The Gods of Greece. I hadn't at that point, it was before I started to do my one-woman show. And in the production of it, it was like a $6 million production and I was trying to raise the money. And
wow.
And it was going to be with HBO and it was so much work, and I felt very unintegrated. You know, I felt it was a very, what I call, ego-centered, worldly success. I have to be successful. I have to achieve this. I felt like if I don't succeed, I'm not worth anything. You know, I have to make my mark. And it was agonizing. It was very, very painful, you know, but I learned so much because one day I realized that it wasn't lined up with myself, that this is not what my heart wanted to do. That's where I talk about the heart. And my heart really wanted to act, to perform, to bring joy and knowledge and share my wisdom. And right at that point, I made a decision to fold the project, connected with myself, took myself in, what I call is like, really started to nurture myself, started to go back to the girl in me that had felt, you know, hurt in my childhood with my parents and had a lot of unresolved feelings, felt alone in the world. And I said, I'm going to make a commitment. I'm going to be there for myself. I actually had a ceremony where I married myself and I bought myself an amazing ring. And I write about all these things, and that's why I think the book has so many treasures, because I write about moments where I had awakenings, and I felt I must have an inner bonding, you know, I must really walk with myself and love myself. And it took me a year where I never went out in the world without buying that ring, without wearing my ring, because I felt the ring was really a symbol of marrying myself. You know, so many times, David, we walk around and we don't have ourselves. We walk around with feelings that we don't express. We walk around with hurts, or we feel disconnected. I mean, do you meet people who feel disconnected from themselves?
Sure.
And why do you think that is?
Well, I think we get distracted from our essential purpose, and we compare ourselves to others and make ourselves feel less than.
Oh, my God, that's so true. You know, So I'm going to ask you, why do you think we do that? Why is this like a human condition?
Yeah, I think it is part of the human condition. I definitely do. And, you know, one of the things I wonder about is your older sister, Arianna Huffington, has become quite successful. And was that part of what was going on for you about feeling like you weren't being as successful as you needed to be? Did that put pressure on you? I know she's been supportive of you, of your work. But
I think at that time, I definitely identified with the word success for my identity.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And then, you know,
so it's understandable, you know, coming up in that kind of situation, that would be a rite of passage for you in a way to get past that.
Say that again.
That I think it's only natural that would be a sort of rite of passage for you to get past that. To get past that sense of being less than or envy or whatever the feelings were surrounding that.
Yes, I have passed them because I've done a lot of work with myself, you know?
Yes.
A lot of work. I feel like I really, you know, when you come to know yourself and you end to come your potential and to come to know yourself as a soul, as a heart, as a divine human being, you can't feel less, you know?
Yes.
You cannot feel less because less is really an illusion. You're not less, you
right.
know? You are really, you are more than enough but of course, if you let yourself down, if you don't keep emerging or giving or growing, then you feel less. You feel like a failure. But really, I think when people, for me in my life, at this point in my life where I am, I'm always growing. I'm always learning. I'm always giving. I'm always receiving. So you're not like a dead end.
Yeah.
You know, I'm arrived. It's like, that's why I don't believe in aging. I think in this country we have something called retired. I don't think people should retire. I don't think retirement, I mean, you retire to do what? I mean, okay, you can stop working at your 9-to-5 job, but you must always be engaged in life.
Yeah, I totally agree. I'm retired, quotes retired, but as you can see, I'm engaged.
Yeah.
very much engaged.
You're having your web series. Retire has the word tired, right?
Yeah.
Retired, to be more tired.
but somebody gave me a different slant on that I love, where it's like getting a new set of tires for your car. So I'm retired, and so I've got another 100,000 miles. Isn't that a nice way to think about it?
Do you look at it like that?
Well, yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, one of the things you've been doing, I know you've been leading a lot of workshops and you're working with your sister now and doing workshops that kind of is a spinoff of her book, Thrive. And one of the components of your work has become leading guided meditations. I wonder if we have time maybe for you to lead us in a short guided meditation. Is that something you'd like to do?
I would love to do that, actually. Yes, I would totally love to do that. Shall we do it now, actually?
Yes, sure.
Wonderful. And also, before we do the guided meditation, I wanted to tell the listeners that they can go on my website, David, unbindingtheheart.com.
Okay,
and
good.
They can find lots of information and tapes and videos, and also they can befriend me in Facebook, and it's Agape Stassinopoulos, and they can follow me in Facebook, and my Instagram is Agape Sees, you know, Sees, like seeing.
Yeah, great.
S-E-S, and because I do a lot of seminars, I speak everywhere, I speak in communities, I speak in conferences, I speak globally, I was in Mexico, in Colombia, I speak to women, I speak to men, And I bring the message of love, of unconditional love, of authenticity, and how do we learn to really take care of ourselves.
Yes. No, that's wonderful. And who would have known at the time that you were studying acting that those skills and honing your communication skills would lead to this work? But it all comes together.
Exactly. So it's all synchronicity, and it all works out in our favor.
Yes.
So I'm going to ask our listeners and you, David, to take a deep breath.
I will do that. I am doing that.
And then as you exhale, just exhale with a little sound like, And as you take this deep breath, the next one, imagine that the back of your lungs are being filled with air. And you breathe through your nose very gently, so you feel the air filling up your lungs, your head, your nose, your brain, your ears, your eyes, and you go all the way down to your feet. And now just relax and quieten yourself, and actually as you breathe, just breathe very gently, but slow down your breath. So that you breathe in the count of four, three, two, one, and hold it for a second, the breath, and then exhale in the count of six, five, four, three, two, one, and breathe in again very slowly in the count of four. Hold it for a second, hold your breath, and then exhale very gently, slowly exhaling any worries, any concerns, any things about tomorrow, and come present in your heart. You might want to take the right hand and put it in your heart and feel your heart. And as you take the next breath, imagine in your heart a big, huge rose. Any color, purple, white, pink, red, but it's one of those garden roses that is full and big. And as you take a deep breath, imagine that this rose is opening up its petals. And it's every time you breathe, all the way to the belly, to the back of your lungs, this rose is becoming huge. And you see the sun, huge waves and beams of sun beaming in this rose, which is now in your heart, illuminating it and warming it. And you see and you smell the rose is fragrant. It's beautifully filling the air. And you start to experience a sense of contentment, peace, and love. And think of everything you love in your life, your beautiful life, and start to fill your heart with this immense gratitude for the gift and miracle of your life. And just receive your breath, receive the light, receive new hope, receive encouragement, receive radiant health, receive joy, just like that, experience waves of joy. Joy is an attribute of the soul. And when we awaken to our joy, our soul awakens. Take a deep breath. Feel your lungs, feel your belly, feel your heart, and see this rose embedded in your heart. Leave it there. It is a message of love. knowing that at any time you can let go of grudges, of judgments, of worries, and return to the place of peace, of calm, and of love. Don't be afraid to love. Don't be afraid to show your heart. Open your heart. And today, tell someone you love them. Tell someone else you love them. Let yourself be filled with love. And when you look in the mirror next time, tell yourself you love you. And when you go to bed tonight, tell yourself, I love you, I appreciate you, and I thank you. Always thank yourself. Always appreciate yourself so you can appreciate others. And now very gently, wiggle your fingers, wiggle your toes, turn your head left to right, take a deep breath, exhale, open your eyes, and come present in the room.
Well, thank you for that gift. What a wonderful blessing to move on into the day with. For me and for all my listeners, and I hope anybody out there who happened to be driving pulled over to the side of the road perhaps, or will go through this on their own later. So Agape Stassinopoulos, I want to thank you for being my guest today on Shrink Wrap Radio.
Thank you so much, David. I hope your listeners will have an opportunity to read Unbinding the Heart. It has my heart in it. And I love sharing it with people. I also want to give people my email. It's agape@unbindingtheheart.com. If they want to write to me and have any comments, if they want to ask me anything, I always appreciate listening to new people and sending my love and waves of light to them so everyone can contribute of their best in their lives.
Well, wonderful.
Thank you, David. Thank you for this wonderful time.
I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Agape Stassinopoulos. You may recognize the word agape, that is A-G-A-P-E, as one of the Greek words for love. In fact, she tells me that her name, Agape, A-G-A-P-I, means unconditional love. Hopefully, some of that unconditional love came across to you in our interview. I think you might have especially gotten it during the guided meditation that she led us on. If you're looking for some inspirational reading, I think you'll enjoy her book. Knowing my listeners as I do, I think that you'll get a lot of reinforcement for wisdom that you already know, but perhaps don't always remember to act upon or to trust. Her book makes for easy reading because it consists of 32 short chapters, each one only 3 or 4 pages in length, but each one containing a personal anecdote and learning from her journey. You got to hear a few of those during the course of this interview. To give you a sense of her writing, let me read the final 2 paragraphs of the book, and I quote, "I made a promise to tell my story so that my story might help others to remember that our true home is inside ourselves, and that is worth everything we go through to return there, and even when we think we have lost the way and the point is nowhere in sight, the loving partner in us is waiting, loyal and patient, like Penelope, for our return home. That part is the compass that never loses its way, even when we do. Before the inexplicable mystery of the universe, we are all village fools. But in our choice to reveal our hearts to ourselves and to each other, we can all be masters and healers. We can be each other's pathfinders, hold the ladder for each other to climb higher than we can alone, open doors that we cannot open on our own, be each other's lighthouses on our journey home, and realize that we are safe and never alone. And then our life on earth can be transformed. End quote. So once again, the title of her book is Unbinding the Heart, and you can find her website at unbindingtheheart.com. As always, you're encouraged to purchase this book using the Amazon widget in the right-hand sidebar at shrinkwrapradio.com.
Hi, Dr. Dave. I wanted to thank you for the remarkable podcast series that you've put together. I've been listening for many months now as I run, and I'm like a kid in a candy store. This is really a remarkable reservoir of information. I do have a check off to you, and I encourage everyone to think about how just valuable your service is. The book review aspect alone is incredible. It's really allowed me to focus on what I'd really like to read and buy and to glean the essentials of something that I might have interest in but perhaps not adequate time. As I mentioned, I'm a long-distance runner, and so I listen to you a lot. I find your podcast educational, entertainment, and kind of a secondhand therapy. One of the things I've learned from your podcast is that exercise is as good as meditation, so I guess I get a dose every time I go for a run. All kidding aside, it's just remarkable. It's a valuable service and a real gift. So I ask everyone to look into their heart, look at their watch and the time that you save them, and look in their wallet and make a contribution so that you can continue doing this good work. Thank you so much. As a full spectrum listener, I really appreciate it. God bless.
Thank you, Jan Prynne, whom I had the pleasure of getting together with a few years ago over coffee. If you're not currently a financial supporter of Shrink Wrap Radio and you can afford to do so, won't you please step up and help us in our effort by clicking on the multicolored support button in the right-hand sidebar? We'll add your name to the honor roll of donors on our site, and you'll feel so good knowing that you're helping to support this resource, which up until now you've been taking advantage of for free. Unfortunately, we have no new donors to announce since our last episode. We do have a new transcript on the site, which is episode number 453, The Nocturnal Dreams of PTSD Victims with Dr. Stanley Krippner, thanks to Jan Derobert. Thank you, Jan. We have a new affiliate sponsor. Actually, I've announced this before, but I need to do it again. It's DreamHost. I know some of you must have websites or have been thinking about having a website or even starting a podcast. I think one of the distinctive things about DreamHost is they can host your content very economically in the cloud. Beyond this, DreamHost is a global web hosting and cloud services company with over 400,000 entrepreneur and developer customers. They host 1.3 million blogs, websites, and apps. My goodness, what a lot of competition I have out there. Now you can get one free domain name registration by clicking on the blinking DreamHost banner in our left-hand sidebar and then using my special discount code on signout, and my code is shrinkwrap, and wrap is spelled just R-A-P. If you're searching for a new career or looking to upgrade the career you're already in, let me refer you to another banner ad in our left-hand sidebar, because it's been a while since I've mentioned our sponsor, Ed4Online. That's ED, the number 4, online. With online career training in today's most popular professions, you can study at your own pace and from the comfort of your own home. Ed4Online career courses are specifically designed to prepare you for career advancement, better pay, and a more fulfilling future. Your career training will put you on the path to your dreams, and some of their courses even include shrink wrap radio interviews. Click on the Ed4Online banner in our left-hand sidebar to go to our affiliate site, where you can select from over 300 professional development courses. And be sure to use our discount code of Dr. Dave, spelled D-R-D-A-V-E, which will save you 10% on checkout. Finally, for any of you who are not already members of Audible.com, my favorite audiobook service, let me recommend in audio format the very book we discussed today, Unbinding the Heart, A Dose of Greek Wisdom, Generosity, and Unconditional Love by Agape Stassinopoulos, and it's also read by Agape herself. So if you're not already an Audible.com subscriber, you can get this audiobook for free and to keep with no obligation to continue your subscription by going to audibletrial.com/shrink. And of course, if that one's not your taste, they have over 180,000 other titles for you to choose from.
Hi, this is psychoanalytic psychotherapist Dr. Daniela Roher.
And this is Susan Schwartz, Jungian analyst.
And you are on the couch.
On the couch with Dr. Dave.
Well, thank you, Daniela Roher and Susan E. Schwartz, whom I interviewed on episode number 368, Psychoanalytic and Jungian Perspectives on Couples at the Crossroads. Now let's take a quick dip into the old email bag. I'll read just two, and the first one is from Brent, who writes, Dr. Dave, thank you so much for Shrink Wrap Radio. As a graduate student working towards my professional counseling degree, I'm able to listen to your podcast a few hours each week and count those as research hours for my practicum. Thanks for your wonderful contribution to my degree and my future practice. I've made a $25 contribution to your program via the link on your website, and I hope to be able to do so again in the future. And that's from Brent Peak. Thanks to you, Brent. I'm glad to hear that you're in such an enlightened graduate program that they're willing to count your listening to Shrink Wrap Radio towards your research practicum hours. Smart people. And I'm particularly impressed and grateful that as a graduate student with limited income, you've stepped up to help support Shrink Wrap Radio. Thanks again, and good luck to you in your studies. Next, we hear from Mayar, a graduate student at the University of Tehran, who writes, My dear Dr. Dave, I've just come from listening to your interview with Dr. Armstrong. As I left a comment on the page for after her interview, I'd again say that just listening to her voice made me feel secure. I felt I was in good hands and can let go without fear of what might happen. I believe that's one of the most essential qualities a relationship must have, if not the ultimate one. I believe her clients must be in good hands. Thanks to you, I've put her book on my to-be-read list. I felt I needed to thank you for the opportunity you provide and also inquire about an interview with the Iranian psychoanalyst and founder of Freudian Group of Tehran, Dr. Gohar Homoyanpour, whom I have sometimes written you about before. Though her book does not fall on any educative category, like some of the people you've recently interviewed, I still think that would be a great interview. And she provides me with a link to Dr. Homoyanpour's website and email address. And she concludes wishing you all the best, Mayar. Mayar, it's always great to hear from you. I'm glad the interview with Courtney Armstrong connected powerfully with you, as it did with many other listeners I've heard from. Thanks for your guest recommendation of psychoanalyst Dr. Gohar Homoyanpour. As you know, I have a long and growing list of listener recommendations for guests. However, I think an interview with Dr. Homoyanpour might be especially relevant at this watershed moment between our two countries. And with that, I think we better wrap it up for today. You can send your emails to shrink@shrinkwrapradio.com. You can also leave comments about individual shows in the comments area on the site. And you can leave voicemail on our phone at 415-830-4014, or you can use our dedicated standalone app, which you can find more information about using the Apps tab at shrinkwrapradio.com. Thanks to today's guest, Agape Stassinopoulos, for her insights on unbinding our hearts. My next interview will be with licensed counselor, yoga teacher, and author Sarah Joy Marsh about her book, Hunger, Hope, and Healing, a yoga approach to reclaiming your relationship to your body and food. And by the way, it's more than about food and the relationship to food. It's about addiction in general. So I think everyone will be interested in this interview. So until then, this is Dr. Dave saying, it's all in your mind.
Shrink Wrap Radio, all the psychology you need to know, and just enough to make you dangerous.